Off the Ball Rugby.
The overwhelming kind of reaction is that he's fortunate to be selected there, that, you know, the likes of Tom Jordan, maybe Darcy Graham, that they're unlucky that they're not called up.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Settle in on Off the Ball, brought to you by Guinness 0.0.
All right, welcome along, Brendan Lawler. How are you getting on?
I'm keeping well. Thanks for having me.
How's the form? Delighted to have you, and good timing to have you as well, by all accounts. Life is busy.
Life is busy. Life's good. A lot of nice achievements in the last couple of weeks, and some nice parties as well.
Yeah. Some related to the nice achievements, and then some life events.
Exactly. Yeah. Just home from Liverpool on my stag. Went with a bunch of, I think it was 14 of us in the end. And it fell at a really good time after having a great week the week before to G4 the Open. It kind of turned into a 2-week celebration.
Yeah. So good time to be getting you. You're nice and emotional, and we can chat about all that.
Yeah.
Talk to us about the last few weeks. We were to have you just before Woburn, and then that didn't happen. And actually, great time as it worked out, but things went very well for you.
Yeah, I had a lot of events the last couple of weeks. It was kind of a pretty dull start to the year. Wasn't much going on. And then it really, my year kickstarts end of May. And it just goes nuts after that.
Yeah.
May. And it's been great. I had an event in Sligo a few weeks ago. It was about 2 weeks before the G40 Open. It was run by Golf Ireland. I thankfully had a good win in that. One of my 9 shots, which was a nice convincing win. And that gave me great confidence for the week after to go out and give it a smack again. And had a great week. I had a great week at the G40 Open and picked up the trophy again.
Yeah. Are you one of those players that sort of operates off that, like you just mentioned, confidence there? Is that where you're at? Like you need that bit of a boost almost?
Yeah, I love confidence and I love momentum. And preparation's key for me as well. And I had a talk with a few people about this. It's the way you prepare for you. Mm-hmm. And I fell into the lull of trying to do what other people did last year, and that was monotonously practicing on the range for hours and hours, on the putting green for hours and hours. And I said, heck that, I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to miss out on all the weddings I missed out the year before. I'm going to go out on my Friday night with my friends, even if I have a tournament the following Tuesday. I'm just going to really not let golf take a back seat, but let the self-pressure take a back seat, if you get me. And that's what I did. I practiced really hard during the winter.
Yeah.
Something I didn't do previously, but I enjoyed myself really well during the winter as well. Playing darts at my local pub, going out with my friends on the weekend, going on holidays with my fiance. Stuff I never would have done before, and I think that's really put me at ease.
Yeah, well, it certainly signs on the golf course anyway. So the G4D Open, it's in the third year. You have 3 appearances, you have 2 wins and a 2nd place. Woburn suits you, the pressure suits you, something's working.
Yeah, I definitely think the course suits me. It's an extremely tight course. We have to be straight off the tee. The first year when I won it, I hit it the best I did in a long time, and I probably putted the worst I've ever did in a long time. Right. But that just goes to show the type of course it was. You didn't have to putt fantastic and win, you just had to stay out of trouble. And that's what I did, and I did the exact same the following year. Played really well the following year, and my rival Kip Poppett, really nice chap, he pipped me by 2 shots the year before, and I had it down to 1 with 2 to play, and I made a really bad mistake on 17. And
what was that?
I had a pitching wedge into 17. He had a 5 shot lead with 9 to go, and on 17 he was only 1 shot ahead, and he was in the rough on the right and hit a brilliant shot to the green. And I hit one straight down the middle, and it was very, very wet. And I caught this shot a little bit heavy, duffed it before the bunker, didn't get up and down, another bogey. But I reckon if I parred that and it was only 1 shot going down the 18th,
yeah,
I reckon I had a chance.
You'd like to have given it a living a go.
Yeah,
the 17th this year on the last day as well, not as important because you were well ahead. But
yeah, I'd love to dig that hole up sometime. But no, it was, as you said, it wasn't as important.
Yeah,
and that double bogey came out of nowhere. I think I had a 6 shot lead at the time.
Are you kind of mentally checked out a bit at that stage, or is that too easy?
Not checked out, no. I was kind of, poor Carrington actually mentioned this, getting too comfortable.
Right.
I think I was in that comfortable stage where I kind of thought I had it won, and when I think the double bogey kind of reset me just to cop on here. You need to still finish the job.
Yeah.
Because 18's a really tough hole as well.
Yeah, you were. Did you lead wire to wire?
Yes, yeah. I led the first day. I shot level par the first day, held a 2-shot lead. I shot one over the second day, had a 1-shot lead, and shot 2 over the last day and won by 4 in the end.
So 1-shot lead going into the last day. So that nervous evening, I presume, beforehand, was it?
It wasn't too bad. My cousin caddied for me, Connor.
Okay.
My best friend. He's my cousin, but also my best friend. And it just was such at ease. Like, we went home that night. He had a pint. I just sat there. We threw on a movie. Then we went out for dinner. Just talked, what's your game plan for tomorrow? And I said, well, if we can just do what we've done all week, we're in a really good position. Mm. And he said, that's all I wanted to hear. Just keep doing what you're doing. And I think he was more nervous than me going out. It's when you're in this position so many times, I'm not saying you don't get nervous, but you don't carry it on as much. Definitely have nerves in the first hole, but you don't carry it on till 2, 3, 4, 5 anymore. It's kind of, it's more adrenaline. You lock in and just keep going.
Yeah, well, eventually, Rory, his best friend, caddy, worked out for him a little bit as well. What are you looking for from your caddy there? Is it like advice, reads, a bit of the like sort of mental side of things, or?
I think it's just camaraderie. My father caddied for me for years, and he was unreal. We had a lot of success, won a lot of tournaments. And then the last 2 years, we didn't get as much success, and I just felt I needed a change. Because Dad's brilliant. It's all about golf, it's this, it's that. But Connor, my cousin, when we're driving up in the buggy to the golf ball, we're chatting about what we did the night before, or our next trip, are we going to go to this restaurant? He just took me out of the moment until I had to come back in the moment again, which was very, very good for me.
Yeah. Mm. What's the conversation like with your dad when you're like, this has been great, but...
It's not bad conversation. It's more like, right, you're in a good position here. What are you going to do? What club are you going to hit? And I'm kind of thinking, I'm going to think about that when I get to the ball.
Yeah.
And it's not that if something goes bad, he's saying really, really encouraging things. Mm. But I just don't want to hear them at the time because it's my father.
Yeah.
So it's, as I said, we had a really good 4 or 5 years together. And I'm sure he'll caddy for me again.
Yeah.
But it's nearly like he can enjoy it now. He's been in the moment of watching me play some of the best golf we ever have. So now I feel it's time for him to enjoy to watch it and enjoy it from watching it on the side.
Did you have to sit him down and...
No, because I think it was like the 7th time I fired him. So.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, no, we've... It was like this love-hate relationship in the caddy, and I'd fire him for one event, and I'd come to him next week, oh, I got no one for the event, can you come on? Yeah, no problem. So he's there 100% to support me whenever I need it.
Well, when he's your dad, he's no choice anyway.
He has no choice, no choice.
The G4D Tour, some people have an awareness of it. It's operated by the DP World Tour. What's the circuit like? And like, give us a bit of insight, if you can, into what is that like? And
So the G4D Tour was set up 3 years ago. It's a disability tour for the top 15 players on the disability circuit. And we go head-to-head probably 5 to 10 weeks a year on the DP World Tour. And our events are played alongside the DP World Tour events. So some played on Monday and Tuesday, and our season finale is played on the weekend in Dubai, just after Rory McIlroy tees off or Shane Lowry tees off. So we're trying to get more awareness for disability sport, trying to get more people into the game of golf. And it's a fantastic initiative what we're doing. And we're trying to turn it mainstream now where we can get a bit of prize money into the sport. So these guys can make a living of what they want to do with some difficulties they had in their life.
It's in its infancy, really, isn't it? Like, is it 3 years established?
It's
the
probably
open?
More. I'd say it's 5 years established because it was running on the DP World Tour about 5 years, but we created our own tour only 3 years ago.
Mm.
And it's kind of, it's weird. It's really good, and it's really, I'm not saying it's really bad, but it's sometimes it's difficult. Because we are disability players, but sometimes we don't get treated like proper individuals. So like the prize money thing is a real bug for some people when you could say we work twice as hard as the professionals with the limitations we have. So we're trying to find a sponsor for the G4D Tour that will cover prize funds for every country we go to.
Yeah, and at the minute, little or none on some of them? Are...
None on the DP World Tour covering the full brunt of the cost of having the events.
Mm.
And the way we make livings is through endorsement deals with like Adidas, TaylorMade, ISPS, Honda. So that's how we make our living. And then like public speaking and all that sort of stuff. Mm. I don't mind if there's no prize money. I love what I do. I love bringing people into the game, networking, meeting so many new people. It's been a fun last 6 years. And if prize money comes into the game, it's only going to be a bonus to me.
Yeah. And equally, you've reached the top of your game. There should be some reward for that.
Yeah, like I was world best player in the world 2 years ago. And it was a fabulous achievement. And I kind of fell into the psyche of I am the best player in what I do. And I'm not kind of getting the rewards for it. It's like, what's going on here? And then Dad said, it will come. Yeah. Don't worry, it'll come. And he has his own business. And he kind of was a fantastic role model and guide for me when I was falling into that bad mentality of not getting what I should have been getting. Mm. He's like, that's not how life works. You need to go out and earn it. And I just kept trying to go out and win and finally got noticed by Modest Golf. And they were a massive, massive part of me to earn a living through the sport.
Yeah, getting sponsorship and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, to just do all the dirty work, basically. Yeah. Like, I go out and play golf and I don't have to make phone calls after to see will this fella sponsor me or how I'm going to get to my next tournament. Or they do all that work for you, which is fantastic.
Niall Horan slides into your DMs and he's like, listen, come on.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what happens?
That was a fun call to get, to be honest. It was very weird. Happened out of the blue. It was Irish Golf Magazine. I'd done a big piece with them. And he said to me, I think I know what guys that you would fit lovely in their stable with. And that was Modest Golf. And I said, I heard of them. I knew Niall was over them, but I knew it was very, very early. And the next day, Peter said he's going to meet Niall and Mark in Dublin tomorrow. I'll talk to you about it. So my phone starts ringing the next day, and it was Niall Horan and Mark saying, we want to meet up and have a chat with you. They were in Belfast. So I spun down to Belfast, kitted myself in all golf gear, just trying to prove a point. I wouldn't have done that now. Yeah. And we had a fantastic chat. I told them my visions of where I want disability golf to get to. And they told me how they could help me to aspire to that thing, to aspire to get the game to that level. And the rest is history. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Amazing.
An extremely inclusive company, and that's a big part of it for me.
Mm. You're watching Settle In with Guinness 00. We're chatting to Brendan Lawler and getting to know him a little bit. Things I knew about Brendan Lawler before we sat down. Well, we go there and then you can sort of jump into this list wherever you want. From Dundalk, pitch and putt fanatic turned golfer, playing since you were a toddler. Multiple winner now in the G4D Tour that we've spoken about. Mm. First disabled golfer to compete on the DP World Tour. Number 2 ranked player in the world.
Yeah.
Former world number 1.
Yeah.
I played with some of the greats of the game. Rory, Tiger, Lowry, Jimmy Bullard.
Yes. That's not a bad resume.
All the greats. And Niall Horan, I guess, must be in there as well.
Niall and Tyrrell. Played with a lot of the guys. I've been very lucky to play with some superstars of the sporting world.
Yeah.
Most of the best ones were Irish. Like, played a lot of Kieran Donaghy, Joe Canning, obviously Niall, Shane. And it's so surprising how equally they treat you when you meet them. Because that's what golf is. Golf's a leveller. I especially found this when I was an amateur, rocking up to any golf club with a team. They're looking at you, thinking they're going to have a handy match here, and then on 15 they're walking in because they've been bet, that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's been an incredible journey, and that's what golf has done for me. It's really made me 6 foot tall, really.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is there another side to that when you say it's amazing how they make you feel, I can't remember the exact words that you use, but on an equal footing.
Mm.
Is there another side to that in your life?
Yeah, there was. Well, I'll go into that, but I've been always self-confident in myself in every aspect of life. I played a lot of Gaelic football when I was young. My brother was extremely good introducing me to his friends groups, and yes, I went into town and people stared and pointed, and even on the football pitch they laughed and pointed. But I thought, people look at that as like, oh, it's going to put me down. I felt that was character building. It's like, I have to learn to adapt to this world. If I can't take a bit of slagging from a 10-year-old, what's the point? I need to get out in the world and create my own path, whether I have a difference or not. Because there's so many people in the world that struggle mentally that are perfectly normal. And it's just, I think self-confidence and doing what you want to do in life is so important. Just go out and do it. Don't let anyone tell you you can't. I don't like the word can't. Mm. just go out and do it.
Yeah.
I think
where does that come from? Like, as a father of young kids myself, that resilient trait is an exceptional thing that's hard to instill in kids.
I think my parents were fantastic too. They let me do whatever I wanted to do, whether it was play rugby, do a skydive, whatever it was I wanted to do, they would always let me do it. They wouldn't turn around and say, "Brendan, you're going to get nailed there. It's going to be really bad, hard on your body." They'd let me do it, get a hard lesson when it happens, and then I won't do it again. I'll make that choice. But community as well. Like you said, I'm from Dundalk. I'm from Loud Village. Okay. It's a very, very small community. And it's an extremely supportive village. And whatever you do on the golf side or even getting married in September, they're 100% supportive of what you do. And when you have people behind you like that, and when you achieve something and come home to them, it makes it all the while better.
Pitch and putt since a toddler. You got the bug early, is that the...
Yeah, I was playing that game since I was probably 4 years old.
Were you, right?
Yeah, 4 years old. My granda cut down a driver for me when I was a child. Yeah. I had my first hole-in-one with a driver. And, just got the bug again. It was like me and my brother's daycare. We'd be dropped down there, not at four next. Then my mum would be a bad parent when I was probably 8 or 9. She'd drop myself and my brother down there for the day and come back at 5 o'clock and pick us up. And there must have been 20, 25 people around the same age playing. Kieran Byrne, he plays at Loud now. In Gaelic, he played. His brother's played, his sister's played. And reached good heights in that as well. I won an All-Ireland when I was 15. Wow. Won a Leinster when I was 16. And then when that happened, I just stopped playing the game and joined golf.
Wow, I never went back.
I haven't played it since.
Not in one round of pitch and putt since.
Not one round.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. What would you, I suppose? It's, So talk to us a little bit about your equipment. You mentioned about, obviously, when you were four or whatever, your granddad cut down the club. Talk to us a little bit about what's in the bag and how you craft that. Mostly, I think from looking at a piece you did with somebody else about like what's in the bag, they're mostly just regular-sized clubs.
Yeah, nowadays. Yeah, my clubs now, I've been very lucky to be sponsored by TaylorMade for the last 6 years.
Mm.
And they specifically build my clubs to loft, lie, height. But people would be surprised, all my clubs are standard length, except for my wedges and my putter. So I tried shorter clubs and I just lost too much distance. I couldn't have it, so... I adapted to the clubs since I was 15. When first set of clubs I got were normal length and just kept playing. And then the great thing about TaylorMade was when I got to turning pro, they were like, well, your toe's like this. It's kind of, it's way upright.
Mm.
So they said, we're going to bend that 3 degrees flat and just watch the difference you'll have. And then it was history. It was
really
just a different ball game back then.
And are you a tinkerer with them after that? Like, are you a Bryson or are you more of a listen, this is what I have?
This is what I have.
Going?
Like, yeah. Like, I'm a very, very, very simple golfer.
Yeah.
I'll literally, if I don't play well one day, I won't go to the range and do all these swing things. I'll just wake up the next day and hopefully it's better.
Yeah.
It's very, very simple. I'm not mechanical.
Instinct.
Yeah. I'm not mechanical. I just, again, I trust my own process. If it went well one day, it'll go well again.
Because you mentioned something that Pádraig mentioned earlier as a bit of advice, but like he's the anti that, isn't he? Like, he's something's not right, I'm going to go and work on that
I'm
for the next 12
it.
Hours.
Yeah, but that works for him.
Yeah.
And you have to respect his...
But you've never been like that?
Never. Yeah. If I play a bad round of golf, most I'll do is go to the putting green for half an hour after. Just try and hit a few putts.
Yeah.
And then I'll just do my own process because it's worked more times than it hasn't. So
yeah.
I'll just go back and do my process.
Yeah. I want to bring this back to the 17th a little bit if I can, but is there something about the shape of that hole? Or talk to us a little bit about your style of game, where are your strengths? And is there something about a hole like that that is just got mentally under your skin, or is there something else about it?
My strength is off the tee.
Okay.
Off the tee and wedge play would be my two strengths. And in the winter, I started working on a cut. I used to hit like a baby draw consistently. And then one day I woke up and said, I want to hit a cut. And I'd never do that. Now we're going back to what we just talked about. Yeah. You change it up. So I changed it up and I felt I was being far more consistent hitting fairways. But the 17th's a massive dogleg left. So I needed to hit a big snappy draw around the corner.
Yeah.
And I just hit it straight right.
Okay.
So I was used to hitting that cut all day long. And then I had to hit a draw. And then there was so much trouble on the left. So I said, if I miss it right, I'm fine. But I just hit this thing way right.
And away it went.
Yeah, way it went.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been there, that's for sure.
You play yourself?
I play badly, yes, I play very badly. Play at, you know, whatever events come up, to be honest, through here, through this place, by and large. I was out at the K Club a couple of weeks ago with Arc Cancer Support. Brilliant day out. Unreal. Around the golf with Jason Byrne. He's somebody you need to get in your list, by the way.
Jason Byrne.
The comedian. He said to me before we started playing, I played the first one last year with him. He said, listen, I'm just going to talk all the way around. And you're thinking, oh, you know, from a golf point of view, the etiquette of golf, how is this going to work? Greatest round of golf of all time.
You need some crack.
It's unbelievable crack. If we get him on your list. Talk to us a little bit about the pressure. Like we mentioned, you know, world number two. I think you were maybe number three, was it, before the Open?
Yeah.
And you've been world number one. So can you talk about how you manage that? Like you mentioned earlier on about self-pressure was an expression that you used.
Yeah, it was like I always had the dream of getting to world number one in disability golf ever since I joined it. And I reached that. And believe it or not, it was like a anti-climax. It was like, what do I do now? And it probably could have been the worst thing for me because I got very complacent. It's like I'm world number one. Then I started not to work as hard as I was, then I'm starting to lose events. Then Kip Poppett came in the scene and dominated for the last 2 years. And it was just like a lack of passion. I just thought I had it all and didn't. I thought I didn't have to work, but I did. Mm. And now I'm back in the fields that I had when I was trying to get to world number one. And I think that's where the success is coming as well. And it's something I don't think about too much. If I get back there, brilliant, I will enjoy it. But I just want to keep trying to make a change, trying to push the boundaries. I get satisfaction of doing things no one else has done. Like last year, I ran an event in Carron House for the first ever event that had a prize fund. Mm. And that went
good
down a treat. Good prize, 30 grand prize fund. Nice one. And that went down a treat. All the players loved it. All the media loved it. Didn't do it this year. Just had too much on. Going to definitely do it again next year, so if you're about, we'll
stick
have you
me
in.
Down. I'll give Jason a shout. We'll both come down.
But it's doing different things. Like as you said, I was the first to play a European Tour event, first to win a major in disability golf. There was so many great things happened. I just want to keep doing different things. Yeah. Doesn't matter what it is.
I really get your passion for what you're doing, which feels like way beyond golf, to be honest. But equally, I'll ask you the obvious question and you can rule it out of hand, as you probably will. Were you ever tempted by the Challenge Tour, getting on the European Tour, the DP World Tour? Does that ever come into your head?
To be honest, no.
Yeah.
I'm a good golfer at what I do. I'm a disability golfer. I'm a big fish in a small pond. Mm. I could compete in them events. If I played really well, I may earn a cut in Challenge Tour. Might earn €1,000 or €2,000. But I feel a lot more comfortable staying on my own field and trying to make a difference. Mm-hmm. So suddenly I do a few them events and you fall into this category of who does Brendan think he is? Is he really that good of a golfer? Is this, you love people talking. Not that I ever cared what people say. So I'm happy enough with what I'm doing. If an opportunity comes up to play in a European Tour event again, whether it's a sponsor's invite, I'll 100% play. Am I good enough to keep a tour card? No. Am I good enough to keep a Challenge Tour card? No. But I'm good enough to make a difference on that week for people looking in that want to play golf. Mm. And that's what it's about for me.
Yeah, it's a bigger
goal, picture,
really, isn't it?
Which like a lot of people don't understand.
What's the... will you talk to us a little bit about Ellis van Creveld syndrome?
Ellis van Creveld is it's a shorter limbs and shorter stature. So I was born with a hole in my heart. Had to get a VSD repair done at 6 weeks old. I was born with six fingers. They're the scars. So there was a lot of shit wrong with me
when
I was young.
Yeah.
But did the disability affect me? Visually, yes, it's affected me. Internally, I don't really feel it has. Mm. And again, that's going back to the upbringing I had of really doing whatever I wanted to do. And you're dealt a hand in life that you just have to play poker with. Mm. And that's what I did. And I have a really good attitude towards life. I don't find it hard talking about my disability, but I find it hard knowing what to say because I don't feel I have a disability, yeah, if you get me.
Absolutely.
So people ask me this question all the time, and it's a very short answer, but I don't know how to make it a long answer, because I feel so normal.
And why would you?
Exactly.
You know.
Because I don't have to.
Yeah.
And there's a few guys like that on the disability tour. Like, there's a guy called Juan Bustigo. Mm. He has one leg.
I think people are familiar with him because he's been a bit of a viral sensation at various points.
See him on, you see him on YouTube or on the socials quite a bit. Mm. But he has such a good attitude. Like me, he'd be one of my best friends on the disability tour. And we just get on with life.
He said, if you give me the choice now of having two legs or one leg with the life that I have...
He'd pick one.
I'll stick with what I have.
Yeah. And like, that's an unbelievable attitude. Mm. And he's an unbelievable golfer.
Is he? Yeah.
So, so good.
Yeah.
And now you've Kip Poppett. He is cerebral palsy. And he's just buzzing. Mm. Always laughing. But what I do find with disability golf, and I've had conversation with players before, and I understand what I'm about to say. It's right, but I understand why it's right. People that have had like a traumatic experience in their life, whether it's losing a leg through a car crash, they deal with it far worse than someone that was born with one leg or born with cerebral palsy or born with short stature. We had our whole life to compute and deal with the challenges as our years went on. But the guys that get these injuries in their 30s, 40s, 50s,
it'd be harder.
It's so harder to compute that.
Mm.
You have your whole life. It's like you have everything taken away from you.
Mm.
Where when you're born with something like this, you have everything in front of you to go take. So it's such a different attitude.
Well, I was reading Eddie Maguire's story, blind golfer who played football at a young age for Mayo, maybe a couple of other counties, gone off winning tournaments now. He's an older gentleman, but gone off winning. Like, he seems to be dealing with it unbelievably well.
Yeah,
but like, absolutely, I can understand that point entirely. So what's your vision for all this goals? Obviously, you've spoken about sort of bigger purses maybe. Mm. Do you see that as a short-term thing? Where do you see that going?
Yeah, I think golf's in a little bit of... it's weird at the minute, golf.
Mm.
The DP World Tour is suffering slightly. It's obviously the thing on the live side. It's going to be fantastic for golf eventually. But I think till it gets there, there's a few organisations struggling a wee bit. So I think when all forces join, the whole world of golf is going to get better, even our game. So that's what I'm hoping for. I'm just hoping for the live side, DP World Tour, PGA, to all kind of get their hats on and have
bring
a pint
together
of Guinness and be happy.
Guinness 0-0. Where would you
like to see...
So you spoke about the format of DP World Tour and... You're coming in on the Mondays and Tuesdays, and then you mentioned about the season ending Monday and you're teeing off after the players. Is that good where it's at, or where would you like to see that?
I'd like to see more events at the weekend.
Okay.
Because we get proper TV time. Our last 9 or 18 holes is on Sky Sports. And that's where we have the biggest impact, is when people can see what we do. And that's we're disability golfers. If it's hidden away, no one's gonna come into the game. So we're constantly talking to DP World Tour and trying to give us more opportunities on the tour. Dream scenario is maybe do a showcase event at the Masters. To have the women's event, to have the main event, to have a disability event at the Masters would be a dream come true. We have two majors now in disability golf, the Open and the US Adaptive Open in America. So there is so much happening. It's just, it takes time for it to happen. And for me, prize money is a huge thing to keep the best players in the game and keep them interested in playing golf. That's what I need. That's what I want for them.
Yeah. Your story's inspirational, and anybody who has heard or watched this will, I'm sure, take plenty from it. What's next? What's the... Give us an idea. I mean, in the sense of what's... you're getting married a bit later in the year.
Yeah.
What tournaments are coming up, and what's the next phase of your career?
Golf and life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... To be honest, I have a great work-life balance, and I'll focus on golf and I'll focus on home time when I need to.
Mm.
Next event, I am playing Rogenstown next week, the Irish Disability Open. That is on Monday and Tuesday in Rogenstown. After that, I fly to London to do a few sponsor days. I have a US Adaptive in July. We have an unbelievable event this year. We are doing a Celebrity Rider Cup in Scotland. I'm playing with Europe. After that, we have the Irish Open and Wentworth. I'm getting married. then I'm going on my honeymoon, then I go to Australia.
Oh, wow. For another tournament?
For another tournament. Uh-huh. And then actually I go to Morocco before Australia.
Yeah.
We have the season final, so I'm in that now, so it's great.
Yeah. Geez, you're flat to the mat. Even to recall that is a feat in itself. Disability Rider Cup would be a pretty cool thing to have.
Very
it?
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's hopefully going to be on the cards. Now, there has been some stuff done like that before.
Mm.
Individual organisations doing Europe against America. But I'd love to see the main organisation take something like that on. And just how much the amount of eyes on the Ryder Cup is incredible, and for people to see what we could do that week would be inspirational.
Paralympic sport an option?
That's a tricky one. We're in this subject kind of annoys me.
Okay.
Because disability golf is now they're trying to categorise it in one leg, one arm, short stature. Where what DP World do is. It's the best of the best, and that's what I like. But the Paralympics, their fear of having it is they're handing out about 35 medals for 20 different categories.
Mm.
And that's the fear here. But we're trying to give them the example of you don't have to do that. Look how normal golf works. It mightn't be fair that you put Scotty Scheffler against some fella from Venezuela, but it happens.
That's life.
That's life.
Yeah.
And you can make the sport as inclusive as possible, but it's a game of golf at the end of the day. You just have to play the game of golf the way it's played. Not with handicaps, just with your gross. If it's at this highest level, as we're talking the Paralympics, I feel the best player should get to the highest level of the game, not anyone that has a disability. That's my read on it. That's going to be controversial, but...
Well, listen, you've caused plenty of controversy and plenty of entertainment and plenty of inspiration, I think, maybe more than any of those things. It's been a really enjoyable half hour thereabouts catching up with you. Best luck. Congratulations, first of all, on the second win, the Open. Best luck with what's in store for you, particularly with the wedding later in the year. And thanks a million for coming in to us.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Cheers.
Thank you.
Settle in on Off The Ball, brought to you by Guinness 0.0.